thoughts and announcement about VBS, and thank you for all, again, who participated. I'll have to say my favorite part of it was watching Brother Joe interact with the young children. And I was thinking about that. I'm thinking, Mr. Rogers on steroids. Is it just me? Anybody else? I don't know. But sure appreciative the opportunity to preach the word. I'm very thankful for it. Carla asked me the other day when I was helping Ben and Joe and Charles build a ramp for Grandma Spicer that if I was doing man work, only because I lack skill sets that others like Eric have with plumbing and such. But I am doing spiritual man work, Carla. That's what I'm saying. All right. I want to say thank you to our guest and people that are here that are visiting with us. We're honored to have you here, certainly. And as we go through this lesson, we're just going to scriptures. We're going to keep it simple, see what God has to say. And so this lesson finds itself in the Old Testament. And this is a time where God had promised them the land of milk and honey. They came out of Egypt, and now the land that God had promised them is at hand. And before they enter in that land, there's Numbers chapter 13. They're asked to grab leaders from each of the tribes and to go in to spy out the land. And if you read through that, whether it's good or bad or whatever, just check it out. We're going in. And so most of us know the account. You'll see here in Numbers 14:24, and as we go through this, the lesson will find itself. But it says in Numbers 14:24, but my servant Caleb, because he has had a different spirit, or King James says another spirit, and has followed me fully, I will bring into the land which he entered, and his descendants shall take possession of it. We know as they went into that land to spy it out, a lot of them did not have a good report. They kind of fell apart under pressure. There's big people over there, and all this is going, hey, we can't do this. But Caleb, and certainly Joshua, but specifically Caleb's given this wonderful compliment from God because he trusted in God. And so God simply said that he had that different spirit. Now, obviously, God's used this in the good way, almost like you might say, well, he's a little bit different. Well, God's using this different in a very positive light. You know, and doing this lesson, it made me think about a couple scriptures. One I didn't realize found itself in Deuteronomy 14:2, where God was talking to the Israelites as a holy people. But he called them to be a peculiar people, right? Different than the other nations, which we see in 1 Peter 2:9, because I knew it was here in the New Testament. I didn't realize in the Old Testament it was there. And it says in 1 Peter 2:9, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people. And so when we look at that word, what's the definition of peculiar? So I looked it up. The first one and how it's being used here by God is distinctive. It's different from the normal or usual. But we look at that definition and we take the odd, eccentric, unusual, because we'll use it that way. Now, certainly the world might look at us that way as being odd and eccentric, right? Preaching the word too much and Bible thumping. But God, in essence, is saying of Caleb that he was different than the others. He was distinctive from the others. He was a peculiar person that God wants him to be and wants us to be. He was separate from those who didn't trust in God, who didn't have faith in God. And then I'm thinking about this, and then I'm also thinking about a compliment that David was given. Right in 1 Samuel 13:14, that God said of David that he'd be a man after his own heart. And so as we go through this lesson, I want us to think about things like that. I mean, do you consider yourself to be a man after God's own heart? Do you consider yourself to be and to have a different spirit within you than others? And so for this lesson, obviously, we're going to talk about what it means to have another spirit, to have a different spirit. And so our first thought here this morning is a different spirit that Caleb had. His spirit caused him to act promptly to obey God. In Numbers 13:30, it says here, then Caleb quieted the people before Moses. Now, why is he quieting them? Because they're bickering about how they can't do something that God asked them to do. Then Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, "We should by all means go up and take possession of it, for we will surely overcome it." And so having a different spirit is one spirit that causes us to act immediately. Once we learn of something and to know it to be truthful, we take action. And so with that, then it made me then, continuing on here, think about Nehemiah. Because in the book of Nehemiah, you understand that in the context of Nehemiah, that this is the time that Israel's coming out of their 70-year captivity. And the temple was going to be rebuilt, the people were being let go, but there was still stuff going on. And so this idea then of Caleb for a moment, it was no delay on things. Let's do this. God says we're going to do it. Let's go into the land. Let's do it. Nehemiah saying, I'm going to find, when I found this out, let's do it. Let's not wait for a more convenient time. Let's not delay. So here in Nehemiah in chapter 1 and verse 3, and they said unto me, the remnant that are left of the captivity there in the province are in great affliction and reproach. The wall of Jerusalem also is broken down, and the gates thereof are burnt with the fire. And it came to pass when I heard these words, right? Here's Nehemiah. He learned of something. I mean, the temple was at its completion state, but the wall, there's things that needed to still be done. When he heard this, what had happened? Then I sat down and wept and mourned certain days and fasted and prayed before God of heaven. We knew that Nehemiah would go and he would be a leader in helping rebuild that wall. And so when you think about then going back to Caleb and to us today, that when we learn of things, we need to take action and not to keep waiting. And in Acts 24:25, to make this point, if I haven't already made it, a little bit further, in Acts 24:25, and as he reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and the judgment to come, Felix trembled and answered, "Go thy way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I will call for thee." So what's going on in Acts chapter 24? Paul was on trial before the Roman governor Felix. And Felix heard what Paul had to say. You can read about it. And he was impressed by the gospel message. Yet he avoided doing anything, and then he excused it by saying, and telling Paul that, I'm going to wait for a more convenient time, a convenient season. And so this excuse that Felix has made has been repeated over and over in the lives of thousands and thousands of people and will continue. First, it has application to those who have never trusted in Jesus to be right with God. Perhaps they think it's a fine thing to be a Christian and a good thing. But it's something that must be given attention to later, not now. Yes, it must be later. They tell themselves they'll give attention to spiritual things later when life isn't the way it is now and when they had their fun. When it's going to be a little bit easier to be a Christian later. Brothers, sisters, let me tell you, it's never going to be easier. It's always a challenge and a struggle as we go through this walk. You know, mostly because we make it that way. But it is. And so with that, though, those are thoughts are delusional. There will never be a more convenient time to come to God. And this is what the Bible had to say about that. 2 Corinthians 6:2, I gave the latter part of it. It says, "Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. A wise person would regard today's warning as perhaps the last one." Why do we keep putting it off? Now, there's another application that's going to hold to most of us here. And it has to deal with Christians. We get to a spot in our walk where we start to coast. We get to places where we're resisting God. And we know where we're resisting God. And we work under the excuse of waiting for a better time, a more convenient time to do what God's asking you to do. God's work in this life will be challenging, and it's going to be inconvenient at times. And we talked about this last little bit here, just about time and the preciousness of time and our giving of time. And yet if we fully submit ourselves to God, we're not going to have those issues. And even inconvenient times, we'll do what we need to do. So I want us to look at ourselves here this morning and to consider that. Are there things that you need to be doing for the Lord that you've been putting off? Would Caleb have put it off? I don't think so. And Caleb's our guy here because you know why? He had a different spirit. He had another spirit. And so continuing on here in my second point, Caleb's spirit caused him to obey God when others would not. And in Numbers 13:31 says here, but the men that went up with him said, we be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. It's difficult to stand up to do right when others don't. It is, and I'm not trying to say it's not. But this is to me when courage comes in. In fact, in Numbers 13:20, even before they went in, it was said of them to be of good courage. And so when you think about a different spirit, Charles kind of gave me this idea. What is it? What is a different spirit, another spirit? And certainly it has an attribute of courage and to do things when others aren't going to do it because it is right. So having a different spirit expresses itself in having more concern about what God thinks as opposed to what other people think. And we do that. I get it. I'm guilty of it just like the next person. That sometimes we're more concerned about what other people think than what God thinks about the matter. My third point here is Caleb's spirit caused him to obey when he fully didn't understand all that was going on. This is, to me, a real important point because a lot of times we're just not always sure about stuff. Let's talk about this for a moment. So I want to go, so in Numbers 13:32, and I'm going to go them. I'm going to those others that didn't have the spirit of Caleb, with the exception of Joshua, of course. In Numbers 13:32, and they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, the land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof, and all the people that we saw in it are men of great stature. And there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants, and we were in our own sight as grasshoppers. And so we were in their sight. I remember Brother Bill did a lesson just on grasshoppers and the giants that we face. But you see, that was their report. Now let's talk about what Caleb had to say. Everyone saw the same thing. But here's Caleb, a man with a different spirit. And it says here that if the Lord delight in us, in Numbers 14:8, if the Lord delights in us, then he will bring us into the land and give it to us, a land which floweth with milk and honey. Only rebel not ye against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Their defense is departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Fear them not. And so Caleb did not deny the report. He did not deny that there was giants and they were grasshoppers in comparison. He's not denying any of that. But he just trusted in God that they would be delivered from these fortified cities into their hands. He trusted God. He had a different spirit. So a different spirit causes us to trust in God when we don't fully understand how God's going to resolve some of those concerns and questions that we have. And so to me, this is all about faith. Faith comes into play. When we're asked to do certain things or to conduct our lives a particular way, different than others, we have to trust in God that the way that he's given us and the direction is the right way. It's the right course. When Brother Ben sang one of my favorite songs, Father Along, think about the chorus on that. Father Along will know all about it. Father Along will understand why. Sometimes we just don't have all the answers just yet. But Father Along, at some point, will be before God. And then all the things will be made clear. So there's the faith that we have to have and trust because that's how God set that up for us. You can go back to Habakkuk and read that, and Habakkuk's issues, what was going on around him. It was almost saying the same thing. Habakkuk, farther along, you're going to understand why I'm using the Babylonians to come do this. And why my people need to be in captivity, Habakkuk. But you need to have faith, because the just will live by how? By faith, by trust. You can go to the book of Hebrews, chapter 11. I was pondering that very thought about this idea of not maybe fully understanding all that would took place. And I'm just going through chapter 11, which is the faith chapter. It gives us just kind of a whole bunch of folk that just trusted in God. Like even in verse 17 of chapter 11, by faith, Abraham, when he offered up Isaac, he put up his son to be sacrificed. And do you think he fully understood everything that was happening? And you can just go through all the people in here, whether it's Jacob or Joseph or Moses or Gideon or Samson. I mean, you just go David and Samuel. Do they think they fully understood? But we have a lot more given to us now through the written word. So we understand a lot more than they did. And what are we being asked to do? My last point is his spirit caused him to volunteer. Caleb's spirit caused him to volunteer. We don't have to go there, but in Joshua 14, 6 through 14, this is, remember, they didn't get to go in the promised land. They had to wander for 40 years. And out of the just adults, the only two that made it in were who? You know who it is, Joseph and Caleb, right? Because they had that, again, different spirit. If I threw Joshua in there, I'm sure that God would be okay with that. But this is a recount. Caleb's recounting the events where he spied in the land because he was promised something. And so he just shares that account with them. You know, having a different spirit doesn't allow you to shrink from the hard work and sacrifice. Caleb had done his part. God had promised him something. And you can read about that. And God's promising you something. And we can read about that. It's called heaven. It's called peace and joy and hope. All these things that we need to get through this world, we're just passing on through. And so we understand these things. And so a different spirit then is not going to shrink from the work that needs to be done or the sacrifice. Made me think of Luke 10:2. Therefore said he unto them, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into the harvest. So in this idea then, there's a lot of work to be done, but sometimes only few of us want to do that stuff. Yet everyone doesn't have to do the same thing. We all can do things to help in the promotion of the Lord's kingdom. I was thinking of 1 Peter 2:5. I don't have it up there. I start reading the lesson beforehand. All these scriptures start coming to my head. But I thought about just sacrifice. In 1 Peter 2:5, it says, ye also as lively stones, right? Active, lively stones are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up what? Spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. And so there are sacrifices that we make. Certainly Luke chapter 9 and 23 comes to mind about carrying our cross daily. There's a sacrifice aspect to the Christian walk. And certainly there's this idea of assisting. And I think about these lessons, and I thought about Tyler. So Brother Tyler, who's not here, you typically see him in the evenings. But I had done something where I put him on something where he said, oh, great, I was voluntold. Voluntold. It stuck with me. But I think about, it doesn't really necessarily, if you go through scriptures where Caleb volunteered, but my point is that I would have to the other assumption, I think you agree with me, that he was given a choice. They didn't say, you need to do this. Joshua was a big tribe, a lot going on there. But I would be under the assumption if Moses came to him, what do you think he's going to do? Hey, I need you to do this. What do you think he's doing? He's doing it. And then I was going further on my thoughts on this, and I thought, well, who's the greatest volunteers? Like, if you had to go back, I mean, anybody who follows the Lord's a great volunteer, so don't hear what I'm not saying. But the apostles, when Jesus said, follow me, did they have to follow him? They did not. They chose and volunteered to follow Christ to be fishers of men. And to now leave their physical lives into the spiritual realm where salvation is found. That Jesus, as Charles mentioned, paved the way that salvation would be there. And so Jesus is asking you, all of us here, to follow him. And he realizes what we're going into, because there's going to be giants and there's going to be difficulties. But he says, follow me, trust in me. Have a different spirit, another spirit. Don't be resistant, right? We talked about pride this morning in our Bible study, right? That resistance that we have before God, where we don't tend to follow what he wants of us. We do our own thing. Isaiah chapter 6 and verse 8. Also, I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? And who will go for us? Then said I, here am I, send me. Work needed to be done, and Isaiah did the work. And so when I think about the people that we read about in the Bible, and as we go through it, and I just consider just all the people, I consider the ones that had a spirit that caused them to act promptly to obey God, about a spirit that caused them to obey when others didn't, a spirit that caused them to obey when they fully didn't understand, and a spirit that caused them to say, you know what, send me, let me do that. That's another spirit. That's what a different spirit is all about. And with all of that, then, there's courage involved with that. Hard work, sacrifice, you betcha, sign me up. That should be our spirit. So the conclusion here then on this lesson is, what an honor it would be for Caleb to be singled out by God, to be said of all the others that he had the different spirit. I think about Romans chapter 16, when Paul lists a bunch of people that he's calling out, those that probably volunteered, those that had a different spirit, those that maybe fully didn't understand, those who were about willing to obey Paul because he was an apostle, when others maybe wouldn't. We're studying in Corinthians. There's many that are throwing Paul in that study in the second letter. Last three chapters are throwing him underneath the bus. And so with all of that, we see the life of Caleb. So I ask the question, and that is this. Based on what we saw in the life of Caleb, do you have a different spirit? I'm asking the question right now. Should we take a moment of silence, like 3 seconds? I want you to think about that. How do you feel about that question? Do you feel that you have a different spirit? Or do you feel that maybe there's some things that you could work on better? That promised land, Caleb would eventually see that land to rest. In our last of the VBS studies, on the last day that we had a study on the rest, right? God rested on the seventh day after he created all the things he did. Then it went into the law of Moses, and they had a day of rest called the Sabbath day. You go into Hebrews chapter 4, and you can read about a day of rest. But that day of rest for us as Christian is what? Is heaven. Right now, there is work to be done. And so I hope that you're here this morning. If you are a Christian and you are struggling, or maybe not being the Christian God wanted you to be, and you just want to just be that different spirit that like Caleb had, or have a heart after God like David did, then you can make that happen. You could start right now today doing that and working towards that. If you're here and you're not a Christian, then there's no chance of the promised land. And so the Bible is very clear on how to get into the kingdom, to be added to the church. And you can be baptized and be added to the Lord's church. It'd be a beautiful thing. And then you would be on your way to the promised rest in heaven. If you're subject to the invitation, please stand and come forward as we sing the song that has been selected.